who or what is the Antichrist? And what does that have to do with living the Christian life? And for that matter, what's the difference between Antichrist and Antichrists? As you can see, we have a lot of ground to cover on today's broadcast of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I'm really glad that you've joined us today because our topic is one that is highly misunderstood. We're going through the book of 1 John in the New Testament. It's a little book, but it has big implications. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to walk us through this interesting and sometimes difficult topic on today's discussion. So let's jump right in. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in again to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we have been going through the epistles of John, and one of the templates that we're using to go through these epistles is a wonderful commentary written by Zane Hodges called The Epistles of John, Walking in the Light of God's Love, which you can get at our website, faithalone.org/store, and you can find it there at a very reasonable price. We're in chapter 2, verses 18, and we might get up to verse 24, but now we are getting in the thick of something very controversial and very interesting. John has been talking about the Christian life. That's what 1 John is all about. He's been talking about the principles for living in fellowship with God, and that includes walking in the light, confessing your sins, loving your brother. But he's also been talking about the flip side, not walking in the light, you're walking in the darkness. And that includes hating your brother, loving the world, and all the desires, the sinful desires in the world. Well, now John is going to change the discussion to a particular aspect of the darkness in the present world. We're going to start in verse 18, and Bob, let me just read verse 18, and we'll talk about it. He's going to talk about someone or something called the Antichrist. Here we are, verse 18 in chapter 2. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Ooh, Antichrist. Everybody knows Antichrist, right?
Right.
From The Omen and movies and just Hollywood and the Antichrist who comes and tries to take over the world. But who is this Antichrist?
Well, the word Antichrist basically means one who is against Christ. There's an ultimate Antichrist coming during the tribulation. Most people think this is the political ruler called the man of sin, the beast that comes out of the land. But I think this is the spiritual leader during the tribulation called the false prophet. And the reason I think that is because this is a man who is a false teacher. These people in the first century are false teachers. And so I think it fits more with the idea of the false prophet, the beast that comes out of the sea.
All right, Bob, you're going to have to unpack some of those things. You use the word tribulation.
Okay,
what is the tribulation?
The next step in God's program is the rapture. And a lot of people have read or heard about the Left Behind series with Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins. When the rapture occurs, all living Christians on earth will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And all the dead Christians will be taken from the third heaven and meet the Lord in the air, and we'll all be together with the Lord. And for 7 years, there will be a great time of conflict on earth called the tribulation, the last 3.5 years of which are called the Great Tribulation. And at the end of those 7 years, Jesus will return, his second coming. When he returns, he will deliver Israel, and he will establish his kingdom on earth. And for 1,000 years, he will reign on earth, and that's called the millennium.
So in between the rapture and the millennium, we have this 7-year period called the tribulation. It's centered on Israel. We know the tribulation is coming because, or at least we have a sense that it's coming because Israel is a nation again, and it hasn't been for 2,000 years, but
right.
It became one in 1948. And Antichrist is going to be involved with Israel.
Yes, the Antichrist, depending on how you view him, is either the person who signs a covenant with Israel. That would be the political ruler, or in my view, he's the person who sets up an image of the world ruler in the temple and gets people to bow down and worship this image.
So, by the way, one of the signs that the tribulation is near, they need to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And if you go online, there's lots of groups that are planning on rebuilding it. They have all the furniture of the temple made. But there's a problem. There's a huge mosque on the Temple Mount, and they're trying to figure out, okay, what can we do about that? But you're saying the Antichrist is going to be this future figure, and he's going to set up an idolatrous image in the temple.
Right, and it will be a false religion. But what John is talking about is all about the Antichrist, plural, who are in the world in the first century as John is on the scene. We tend to think, wow, the early church, they had the apostles, they had all the signs and wonders, they had it made, everything went well. Not exactly. You had the church at Corinth with all its problems, etc. But you also had the churches that John is writing to where they're being confronted by false teachers called the Antichrist. And the warning here is don't be duped by these false teachers.
That's so very interesting. So there is this future, very horrific, very scary figure coming in the future. But John is saying, even now, many Antichrists have come. They were all around.
Right. And they're here in our day, too. They've been all throughout church history. Anybody that is not accurately teaching God's word is ultimately someone who's an Antichrist. Now, John is going to explain different ways in which they can be Antichrist. Most of the things he's talking about concern false statements about Jesus. Either he didn't come in the flesh or something along those lines. But most likely, John has more than one type of Antichrist in mind.
Mm-hmm.
People who are contrary to the teachings of Christ. But what's interesting, notice he says twice here in these first few verses, it's the last hour.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. So the last hour, you know that he's using it metaphorically because, you know, even over the course, how long would it have taken them to get this letter? At least a week or two. So he's not literally meaning, you know, 60 minutes.
Right.
It's not the last 60 minutes, but it's the last period of time, last age, the last what is he doing?
Right. Well, it's almost like you think of a clock. John is saying it's 11 p.m.
Right.
We got an hour to go. Now, he doesn't literally mean an hour. He means we're in the last stage of human history before Christ sets up his kingdom. Ultimately, he knows the tribulation in the Old Testament is called the time of Jacob's trouble. And he knows that time is coming. And he knows the Antichrist will play a key role during those 7 years. But the point is, he's saying, look, even though we're not in the tribulation and we're not exactly 7 years from the establishment of the millennium, we are in the very last time of human history before the millennium. It could be at any moment. There's great expectation on John's part. Paul had the same expectation. All of the apostles had the same expectation that Jesus could return in their lifetimes. And so they were hoping to be raptured and not die, just like you and I should hope that we are going to be raptured and not die.
Well, in verse 19, John goes on, after just talking about how there's antichrists among them, he says in verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Well, I know a bunch of people like this. They left my Bible study. So they were antichrist, right? Anyone who leaves your church or a Bible study is automatically an antichrist.
No. Sean, it's funny, sad funny, that a lot of people use 1 John 2:19 to say anybody who departs from the faith proves they were never born again in the first place. That's not what John is talking about at all. He's talking about people who went out. Probably we're thinking here of the Jerusalem church. Evidently, these people who are traveling teachers were in the Jerusalem church for a short period of time, a few weeks, a few months. They left. And the reason they left is because they weren't in agreement with the teaching of the apostles. John's point is not whether they were born again or not. Now, it's most likely they were not born again because there's no hint that they believed the promise of everlasting life that Jesus taught. But the point is, John isn't saying anybody who leaves your church or Bible study is an antichrist or is not born again. He's not even saying if someone falls away from the faith, let's say someone experiences a moral fall or a doctrinal fall, that proves they aren't born again. That's not his point. His point is, don't be duped because they say, we've come out from the Jerusalem church.
Right. And it's good to remember that at the very beginning of the epistles of John, in the first chapter, he's talking about a certain type of fellowship. You know, if you do this, you're going to be part of our fellowship, and our fellowship is the apostolic circle.
Right.
So that's really the context.
Right.
He's saying these guys, these antichrists, who went, they were never part of the apostolic circle.
Right.
And they proved that.
Right.
Because they left.
Right.
Very, very interesting. Well, do we have time for one more
sure.
verse? Verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Oh, boy. What a verse. This requires explanation.
Maybe we don't have time for one more verse. Well, what I would say, and we're going to see as this develops, because coming down to verse 27, he says, you have no need that anyone should teach you. And I think what this is saying is the Holy Spirit had done a work in their life. He calls it an anointing. And you know all things. He doesn't mean they're omniscient. What he means is they know sound doctrine. They know all they need to know in order to be mature in the faith, what Paul would call a spiritually minded person in 1 Corinthians 2:14-16. These are people who are well grounded in the faith, as 2:12-14 showed. And so what he's saying is, look, the Holy Spirit's done this work in your life. You know the truth you need. In fact, these men are probably elders in a local church who are teaching others. They don't have any need for the Antichrist to come in and instruct them. Obviously, nobody needs Antichrist to instruct them, but they don't even need others to come in and instruct them in the sense of basic Bible truth, because they've already got it.
So this isn't like a magical power that you know everything.
Right.
Automatic. You become a Christian genius with this anointing.
Right.
That's not what this is about. He's saying, listen, you don't need these guys to be telling you these secrets that the rest of the apostles haven't taught to be saved or sanctified. You already know what you need to know.
In fact, some people think that the Antichrist in John, they call them proto-Gnostics. A Gnostic was someone who was claiming to have higher knowledge. And even though that didn't come in until the end of the second century, some people say these people were like that. Well, it is possible they were saying, we have this secret knowledge. And you're exactly right. You don't need any of their secrets.
Because you have the Word of God and all is revealed in it.
Amen.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for that great discussion about Antichrist and Antichrists. If you're like many, what you heard in today's broadcast probably came as a surprise. But don't worry, you're not alone. These ideas are often confusing. If you would like to go deeper on this subject or another subject that you've heard on one of our broadcasts, then I'm going to encourage you to come visit us at our website. Our website is faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the website, we've got a free subscription to our wonderful print magazine. We've got videos, podcasts, and blog posts. You can even find information about upcoming events that we do around the country, regional and national Bible conferences. If you want to give a tax-deductible donation to our ministry to help us continue what we're doing, we would very much appreciate it. It's donations from listeners just like you that make this program possible. Maybe you've got questions or comments. If that's the case, we welcome them. Here's our email. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We'd love to hear from you. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to discuss what it means to deny or acknowledge Jesus Christ. Tune in for that interesting discussion tomorrow. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.